4 is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Cool Beans, who works so hard behind the scenes here. And, we love to hear laugh, and we love to hear the word Leonard come from her mouth. So many great things about Cool Beans. Cool Beans, I'm going to need you to come in here for a second, please. She's also the one, if you're new to the show, who, if you ever have called to try and win a prize or just to talk on a subject, Cool Beans 99.9% of the time is the one who answers the phone. Hey, Cool Beans.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
I wanted to share with you a call that we got on our voicemail. Of course, the Fez line is what the voicemail is known as, 704-FEZ-3200. Here was the voicemail that came in last night.
Hey, guys. I just realized that Cool Beans follows the United States Postal Service on Twitter. You might want to have her explain that.
First of all, thank you. I love that he called at 12:30 last night and was just, as we like to say, tickled to death about the fact that somehow he had discovered, poking around on, I guess, on Twitter, that Cool Beans follows the United States Postal Service on Twitter. Now, first of all, it sounds like something I would do. So I'm not going to throw Cool Beans under the bus. Now, somebody else may want to. It sounds like he's inferring that.
Well, is this one of those cases where you probably had some sort of issue and you tweeted at the Postal Service, hey, I need some help. And they're like, oh, follow us. And then it, instead of having the conversation in public, it happens in a direct message?
No.
Okay, so I was trying to give you an out right there, Cool Beans, where you could have said yes.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, of the social media accounts that are out there, Twitter is the one that you turn to probably for the most, I don't know, information. If you have a question about a business or something along those lines. I mean, for example, if I was going to follow the Postal Service on either Instagram or Twitter, I think I would choose Twitter. I can't imagine, right, you know, the exciting photos that the Postal Service is going to share that I'm going to really want to dig into on Instagram. So if I had a choice, I'd be like, I don't actually follow. I don't, but I may start now. How did that come up, Cool Beans, and why would you do it?
I just hit the little magnifying glass and typed in United States Postal Service.
Right.
And then I said, follow.
Certainly you went after it. It didn't come to you just randomly.
So at some point you thought, boy, I ought to be following the Postal Service on Twitter.
I did.
Why?
And are you happy with your decision? I guess it's two questions.
I am very happy with my decision.
Are you drunk?
As I look, so before she answers whether she's drunk or not, it seems to be on the Postal Service's Twitter feed, mainly just, hey, new stamps coming out.
I'm on their Instagram. It's the same thing,
We're celebrating Airmail's 100th anniversary. Don't forget to pre-order your stamps.
That's what it is.
Which, and I know, you're not a stamp collector, though, are you?
I am not, but sometimes if they have some really nice stamps, I'll get them, like, I don't know, like, they had some Disney stamps at one point. They had some superhero stamps at one point, and I got a set for my brother who's really into comic books and stuff.
Okay. So. That, and you know what? Legitimate answer. I also notice as I'm paging through on August 2nd, the Postal Service tweeted, how much do you know about the U.S. Postal Service? Click now to learn some fun facts.
Oh, my God. Love the fun facts.
I'm dying.
So, I love fun facts too.
About the U.S. Postal Service?
About anything.
So that's mixed in with stamp revelations. Mm. But by the way, just to prove that I was right in my assertion that I'd rather follow the Postal Service on Twitter or Instagram, I'd rather choose Twitter. I'm looking at the Postal Service's Instagram, and like, here's just a photo of a mailbox, like the blue ones that you might find on a street corner, like out in a field, sort of in front of a barn.
Is it like an engagement photo?
It almost looks that way. It's got sort of a fuzzy background to it, and it says, I'm quoting, distance isn't an obstacle, it's a commitment.
Oh, God.
We love delivering across the nation for you.
There you go.
And by the way, I can't even count how many comments there are underneath it, and all of them are just people who are irate.
About the package being missing or something?
The first one says, I've been on hold for an hour and 13 minutes waiting to speak to someone about a package that I didn't receive. Now I'm on hold. Effing sucks. Right there, right next to the beautiful, artistically done photo of a mailbox in front of a barn.
Right.
You guys suck. Just all it is people venting their frustration at the post office.
But listen, I think that the post office sometimes gets a bad rap.
Uh-huh.
And that if you think about all the mail that they deliver every day and they actually get it right, when you get home and mail in your mailbox, if you really think about it, that is a fascinating accomplishment.
They've been doing it for 175 years. No, they're supposed to have it down by now. You're following them so you can be supportive?
Yes. And I like to get mail. And like one day I got my friend sent me a nice card in the mail. It was a surprise. And I was like, oh, wow. That's amazing.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
You know how I've been encouraging us to get like some kind of psychoanalyst?
Oh, God, yeah.
On the show because we're all so messed up in our own ways.
Right.
That probably needs to happen today.
No. Listen.
Uh-huh.
One day I went to my mailbox and I got a letter from my sister.
Uh-huh.
And she had given me a $1,000 check. What?
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Good things come in the mail.
You can get that through your email right now, though, Cool Beans.
I think Cool Beans is drunk.
She sent me a check.
Yes. You know, social media is used for bad things. We need to put it to good use.
There are better ways to put it to good use.
I'm showing support.
All right. You know what? It's all in little pieces. I don't think we need any more right now. I think we're going to digest this, and then we'll come back once we've had time to really think it through.
The first person ever to willingly follow the U.S. Postal Service.
He's
going to do it today, too.
You guys are stupid.
Now, that's the first thing you said that made sense.
That is a fact.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times. In all my years in the theater, take a deep breath. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
Well, made it through the worst day of the week. Came out the other side. Am I right, Chels?
Yep, 100%.
Right?
Did you guys realize what today is, right?
Wednesday?
Woody game Wednesday.
Well, yeah, I know that.
All right.
You don't need to bring that up immediately. Can you at least give us a little bit of warm-up?
You're talking about getting through the worst day of the week.
Well, Chelsea still claims that Tuesday is the worst day. Yeah. The fact that today's Woody game Wednesday apparently hasn't put that up at the top for her. Yep. We just heard the replay there. Cool Beans, of course, sharing with us how the U.S. Postal Service, at least on social media, has changed her life. Because occasionally something good comes in the mail. I did just go ahead and hop on the Postal Service's Twitter account, and I quote their most recent tweet from 19 hours ago. Add a bit of magic to every letter you send with our new Art of Magic Forever stamp. Purchase yours in the postal store. So that is pretty exciting, right, Cool Beans? You fired up about that? I will say that and I just double checked their Instagram, their latest post has a photo of some of the machinery that they use while sorting letters at the Postal Service. The USPS is the world leader in optical character recognition technology.
Reading handwriting?
Machines reading nearly 98% of all hand-addressed letters and 99.5% of machine-printed mail. First comment underneath. Nice machines that the Postal Service uses. Be nice if you'd remember that people are not machines and should be treated better. So again, I stand by. All it is just a place for people to go and vent. That's literally all those sites are. By the way, you're always welcome. Thanks to everybody who contributes in various ways. The Fez line is our voicemail at 704-FEZ-3200. Cool Beans, we got this last night, I guess it was.
Hey, Cool Beans, did you know that there is a coffee shop out in Spokane Valley by the same name called Cool Beans, right there where Sprague runs into university? And on your topic the other day about bugs in the ear, years ago I had a friend whose grandmother went to South America and came back and had an earwig that had laid eggs in her ear. Chew on that one for a little bit, Woody. Oh. Bye.
Chew on that, Woody.
I won't chew on that. That's horrible.
So you've got a coffee shop named after you in Spokane Valley, Cool Beans. I don't know if you knew that. Speaking of wigs, got this on the Fez.
The other day when you guys were talking about the wigs that were stolen and how the shop owner said there was going to be held to pay and that the police were combing over the evidence, I'm willing to bet the employees, they were wigging out when they realized they were getting robbed. I have more, but I will shave them for later when I speak to you live.
We feel like that's allowed?
No.
That was days after your horrible pun-laden commentary.
I'm going to allow it.
No.
I mean, he may be a podcast listener, so maybe he had just heard it.
But still, you can't bring back a bad pun game when it was awful the first time.
Step into my office!
What?
Because you're f***ing fired!
I do feel like there needs to be an office that stepped into on that one. You're always welcome, though, on the Fez line, our voicemail at 704-FEZ-3200. So as Woody mentioned, we are going to find out what ridiculous holiday Woody feels like we should be celebrating today and how he's decided to come up with a game to do it. We'll do that in a little bit. Great edition of It Happened in Florida. I think very informative, and we're going to enjoy pointing and giggling as well. So that's coming up. And we've got a chat on the way next. So many things happening around the world, including there's a country and a city in the world that is doing something that I've never heard of before. And I'm wondering if it's something that we ought to bring to the United States. It could alleviate some issues. It could create new issues. I want to share that with you, and we'll do that coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
And now, it's time for The Shat Report. Stuff happening around the globe.
The G is silent.
Beep, 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 beep.
On The Woody and Wilcox Show.
You know, we always try to give you reasons not to go into work so that you can, you know, enjoy a day off. I don't have that for you right here. Although, if you haven't quite made it into work yet, you may want to think about how you, act while you're at work based on the story that I think this hit yesterday. You see the story about the women, and if you know the answer to this, Woody, don't say it, the lunch ladies who were accused of stealing money from the school cafeteria.
I saw something about this. It was a large amount.
I don't remember the number, but I want to say it was
half a million?
Yeah, that's what I was going to think too, Chelsea.
There's no way two lunch ladies could steal $500,000 from their school cafeteria. They stole $500,000 from their school cafeteria.
And it was
$500,000.
You give them, 50 years, maybe they can do that. But the time frame was pretty short.
What was it?
It was 5 years.
How did
still, $500,000.
How'd they do it?
They just took money out of the till. They were apparently the ones who were in charge of reporting the money each day. Some days they would report that the registers had made no money, which seems like it'd be really easy to check.
A dead giveaway.
Like, really easy to check.
Where's the food going?
And for 5 years, they had gotten away with this. Let that sink in for a second. Totaling $478,588 between 2012 and 2017. So they caught on to it pretty quick. The reason why, first of all, they didn't get fired. They resigned before they could get fired because in 2017, late, somebody was like, hey, there may be something going on here. And they were like, okay, we quit. Both in their 60s. Claiming that they're innocent, by the way. But the proof has been out there. $500,000.
I've never owned a business before, but I've worked a couple of places where, you know, I had to work a cash register. The first time that you count out, you're like, I don't need to count out my drawer because I didn't take in any money. They're like, what?
That's the hardest part. I mean...
They weren't the only workers either, by the way, in this particular school. There were other cafeteria workers. They just oversaw everybody. Sometimes they would tell, or maybe all the time, they would tell the others not to report what their registers had. They would take care of it and log the funds and obviously underreport significantly. Sidebar, who knew that a lunchroom was bringing in that kind of dough? Because obviously they weren't taking all of it.
Well, think about the giant schools that have thousands of kids.
I mean, it's an elementary school, so yeah. It's usually those are smaller.
Cheese sticks cost less.
Well, I don't know. I didn't think about what they were selling. But it's just fewer kids typically than a high school.
High school kids are going to eat a lot more than a 5-year-old. I want to have that kind of like looseness about life. Where I'm not worried that someone's going to quickly realize that I'm not ringing up food because there's a huge discrepancy.
Apparently, they're not going to quickly realize.
I know, but that would just terrify me. But they went with it for 5 years.
I read that one of the sisters would only take the big bills. And I'm like, hang on a second. This is an elementary school. So you're telling me like there's a kindergartner rocking like, you know, 20s and 50s?
You said sisters. They're not sisters.
Oh, I'm... May have missed.
Did you think they were nuns?
Could have been.
No, they're not nuns. It's a public school.
I thought that they were related.
No, just in their love of money. So I don't know how you handle yourself at work, but let that one roll around. I'm not suggesting that you should, you know, siphon off money from your job site.
We'll only do it for 4 years because they got caught after 5.
Now, I mentioned a second ago that something's going on in other parts of the world and I'll take your temperature, pardon the expression, on this one to see if we should do it here in this country. Have you seen what they're doing in France with public urinals? Did we talk about this? Because I don't recall this at all.
Several people sent it on Facebook. So, yeah, I was reading about it.
But I don't think we had ever mentioned it. I hadn't seen this before. In an effort to cut down on public urination in the streets... In France, they've added urinals that are just right there on the sidewalk. I just tweeted out the story, and you can see within that story all sorts of photos of urinals that they've installed in public places, at tourist attractions. You'll see, like, right there on the river that runs through Paris, the tour boat going by, and there's just a guy standing on the shore whizzing. Into a makeshift urinal.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Well, get creative.
Back it up?
I mean, the assumption is, I guess, that it's only dudes, Chels. Welcome to France. They're about the size of a mailbox with a big opening up front. So you can just walk up to it on the street. Have at it. They've been installing these since last year. There's a layer of straw inside to soak up, if you will.
Oh.
They do have flower beds on top of the urinals, so make them look sort of pretty. Check out the article that I've tweeted out at Woody and Wilcox if you don't know what I'm talking about. And you'll see it is exactly probably what you're imagining in your mind. Would you want these here in the United States?
Chocolate bleu.
No chocolate bleu.
I
They say it's cutting down on people who would have just otherwise apparently just have at it right there out in the open with no urinal.
Certain situations, I would totally welcome this. Festival concerts, NASCAR events.
This is just everyday life. You're just walking down the street.
Oktoberfest. This would be one of those things that, but that's what I'm saying. I would want them on a limited basis where dudes are getting together and consuming mass quantities of liquids. And
right, but that's a different scenario. That's like rolling out porta potties for an outside event. We're talking about permanent fixtures that are right there on street corners.
Yeah, I would.
You're standing there waiting for the bus, and a guy right next to you is whizzing into a box. They did a survey. How many Americans do you think would want this?
34.
20. I'm looking for a percentage.
20%.
34%.
46%.
Really?
Said they would support having them in their own city.
Again, what am I supposed to do?
I think this opens up, theoretically, more of the public spaces for women's restrooms. You convert some of the guys that are more of an enclosure and say that, you know, convert them to the ladies' side.
Maybe we start with just, you know, the government leaves out, you know, an old Snapple bottle or a
Gatorade,
a used tennis ball container. And we see how that works.
Those have sharp edges.
And then kind of ramp it up from there before we spend all the money to build all these urinals all over a city. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Good product placement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can take the label off the Snapple bottle.
Some people might want it.
I'm saying you got advertising space on the side. Maybe some Viagra. When you walk up, it's a little audio message that just laughs when the guy unzips. Ha, ha, ha! You need Viagra!
I mean, maybe.
There's opportunities there.
Speaking of opportunities, couple of good lessons, including what do you do when you've broken up with a significant other? We've heard a lot of stories about what happens. I don't think I've ever heard this particular thing happen, and we'll share it with you as part of our It Happened in Florida next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right, well, it's time to learn a little something and also maybe point and giggle at others so that you feel better about your own life. We've got this round of It Happened in Florida here, and you can get in and compete at 844-4WW-SHOW if you'd like to. Pretty simple, spot the story that actually took place in Florida. They're all true stories, but they could have happened anywhere all over the globe. And Florida is consistently cranking it out, so we celebrate by you spotting that story first. Woody will kick us off with story number one.
We're all parents here on the Woody and Wilcox Show, so we've all had the pleasure of our kids going through their possessive phase, right? That's my cup! That's my toy! That's mine! That's mine! And it's all you ever hear for about 2 years or so, right? Something like that.
It gets worse if there's a sibling.
It does get worse if there's a sibling, and I bring it up because eventually they do grow out of that phase, hopefully. However, the woman in story number one did not grow out of it, as she is now behind bars for, a whole host of things. Her kid came home from school and grabbed a cup that she uses. And so she immediately was like, that's my cup. And at that point, began attacking the child. Not a good thing. However, it was when the cops were called, because the neighbors heard the screaming going on, she did what anybody would do at that point. Took off all her clothes, ran out into the yard, grabbed a huge pile of dog poop, and smeared it all over her body. She then ran to try and grab a sword and attack the police officers, and they're like, we're going to go ahead and put an end to this. Is it in Florida where she handles things the most adult way I think we could possibly imagine?
Chelsea, you've been through a couple of breakups.
Yep.
What usually happens when, and let's say you're living with the dude in your case, and things go sour.
Okay.
And he moves out of your apartment. What usually transpires at that point?
It's very nice. You set a date to, you know, go get your stuff, one of the parties, and shake hands and have a good life.
Well, that's not the way it went in story number two. They broke up, and it was time for him to move out. So she went to bed, and he cleared out his stuff. And when she woke up in the morning, just what you'd expect, the toilet's been taken. That old story.
The toilet?
That's right. While he packed up all of his stuff to move out, apparently as retribution, he also stole her toilet. Now, why would he steal her toilet?
He bought it.
Well, she only had one bathroom. So pretty good retribution, I suppose, when she no longer has a toilet in her apartment. I guess that was the thinking behind it.
It wasn't done out of love.
Like, what? Right. I think we've nailed that one down, Chelsea. I don't think so either. You ever have somebody steal your toilet after a breakup? She told the authorities that she's been using the bathroom at the Taco Bell down the street.
It's not funny.
It's inconvenient.
Yeah. Is it Florida where a woman and a dude broke up and he stole her toilet in the middle of the night? Woody's got the third and final story for you.
Third and final story has to do with the police asking for the public's help in apprehending a hippo spanker. As a video was posted online of a man at this particular zoo hopping a fence, sneaking up behind and spanking a four-year-old hippopotamus named Rosie. Now, Rosie and her mom were just sitting in the enclosure. In the video, you see the guy sort of look at the camera and give like the high five and the thumbs up. Yeah, I just spanked a hippopotamus.
Is that a euphemism for something?
It is not. He was at a zoo and was able to get close enough and reach over an enclosure wall and smack one of the hippopotamuses on the backside. Zookeepers are saying hippos are dangerous animals and it could have gone south at any moment. This guy falls in, bad things would have happened. Do you realize that hippopotamuses kill about 500 people in Africa every year? I don't think of them as being that violent, but apparently they are. They'd like to have a word with this man, and he could be facing charges.
Maybe it's unintentional, those deaths. I mean, they're just huge animals.
Oh, I think they're intentional. No. It's the look in the hippopotamus's eye. Was it in Florida where he jumped over a wall and was able to spank the hippopotamus? Charles is up first to try and solve our quiz. Charles, all three stories actually did happen. Only one of them went down in Florida. Can you tell us which one?
I'm going to go story number three.
Story number three. California, the LA Zoo is seeking some answers from whoever posted the video of a man spanking a four-year-old hippopotamus.
If you're spanking the hippo, 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through.
Wang.
Jack, thanks for the wang on the end. Jack, 50-50 shot.
I'm going with story number one.
Number one, yeah. Just a woman in Florida who is having a rough day in Pensacola, Florida, after police arrested her. She smeared the dog poop all over her and was attacking them with a sword.
Story number two doesn't give a byline. This was a Reddit story, but I'm going to assume that it didn't happen in Florida so that we can all move on with our lives.
Police are investigating whether or not it's a crime. They currently have nothing to go on.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're I'm fired.
Get that, Chelsea? They have nothing to go on.
All right, I'll admit that was a crappy pun.
I can't this early.
All right. That'll be plenty.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Who's fired up? Huh? Let's get excited. It's Woody Game Wednesday.
I'll let you know in 15 minutes or so if I am.
Today, there's so much that we could be celebrating, right? Today, National Best Friends Day. What'd you guys get me? Anything? Oh, we're not there? We're not going to be celebrating that, though. Today is National Failures Day, a day to dedicate to examining past failures and using them to benefit you in the future.
Did you say National Failures Day?
That's correct.
I feel like every Woody Game Wednesday falls under that heading.
Why do we need a day to sit down and think of all the things that we regret in life? That's awful.
I agree.
Just let's take a day for it.
It's, you know what? Think about how many times, Chelsea, on this show, we talk about the failures and how we can learn from them.
Right. I don't need to sit with mine. Like, everyday life, when they pop up, I feel like is enough.
I'm surprised you're even here today, Wilcox. I mean, we could be celebrating a great day in history. It was just 3 years ago today that your boy Kim Jong-un...
Again, not my boy. I'm not sure how that comes around that way.
...has decided that there was going to be a special North Korea time. Remember they turned back the clocks a half an hour?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago. They have their own time zone in North Korea. And it's a half an hour off from everybody else.
And you thought maybe I wouldn't come to work today because it's the anniversary of that?
I know you're big on celebrating holidays.
I feel like that's shaky ground it to is. Call out of work.
But we missed a great man's birthday, Steve Martin's birthday yesterday. And I've come up with a game to help us celebrate Steve Martin's birthday.
The comedian Steve Martin?
Yes, not the dentist Steve Martin or the guy who changes your oil Steve Martin. The Steve Martin. What game will we be playing? Well, we'll find out here in about, say, 10 minutes.
I hope it has something to do with time changes in North Korea. That's all I can hope.
It does not.
Oh, that's too bad.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, we got to celebrate a great American's birthday today. Even though his birthday was yesterday, I felt the need to highlight a man named Steve Martin. Thanks to Van Kupo for tweeting in at Woody and Wilcox. I bet the game is going to be called Name That Steve. Am I really that predictable? It's not called Name That Steve, by the way.
Same game, different name.
You shut your mouth over there, woman. Come on now.
It's funny you mentioned Steve Martin because I just saw recently that, and I don't know why this would have come up, maybe because it was his birthday, that he is credited with inventing air quotes. Did anybody else see that? I don't think I dreamed that. You know, where you do the quote thing with your fingers? Steve Martin is credited with creating that. Did anybody know that?
Did he give himself that credit?
I don't think so, because when you look it up, I think it was Wikipedia, which I believe is gospel. They claim that he was the one to first do it and made it popular in a bit on stage. And it's obviously... sadly, taken off too well. I find that too many people are using that.
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, sorry.
Let's meet our contestants. Up first is Robbie. Robbie, good morning.
Doing good. How about y'all?
Doing well. How big a fan of Steve Martin are you?
I'm a pretty big fan.
Awesome. Okay. Taking you on is going to be Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning.
Morning.
Scale of 1 to 10, how big a fan of Steve Martin are you?
I'd probably say about an 8.
All right, so we got a couple of contestants. I've come up with a new game to help us celebrate. His birthday was yesterday, 73 years young. A game that I'm calling My Favorite Martin. I'm going to be giving you clues, and you tell me if it's a fact about Steve Martin, Martin Lawrence, or Martin Short. My favorite Martins in the entire world.
Those are yours?
Yes. Can you name another Martin that you like? Maybe Martin Landau. You throw him in there.
I haven't given much thought to Martins, I'll be honest with you.
Robbie, Rebecca, you guys are going to be using your name as a buzzer, so that's going to be very difficult for us to determine, but it's going to be fun. I'm going to give you a fact at the end of it. If you think you know it, you ring in with your name. You tell me if it's a fact about Steve Martin, Martin Lawrence, or Martin Short. If you get it right, you get a point. You get it wrong, your opponent gets a point.
So they're playing on their own. Chelsea and I not involved with this one.
That is correct.
Best news of the day.
Best news of the day. Robbie, Rebecca, any questions?
Nope.
No.
All right, here we go. Name my favorite Martin. He was a cheerleader in high school.
Robbie.
Rebecca.
Robbie was in first. Robbie?
Steve.
Steve Martin, yes, was a cheerleader in high school. Garden Grove High School. Go Argonauts! He made up his own cheers and was almost kicked off the team when he came up with a cheer called Die, You Gravy-Sucking Pigs.
Did you say Garden Grove High School, Go Argonauts?
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I heard that right.
One for Robbie on that one. My favorite Martin. Here's your second fact about my favorite Martin. He was a contestant on the dating game before he was famous.
Rebecca. Martin Short.
No, I'm sorry. That was Steve Martin as well. Here he is on the dating game.
Batch number 2. Complete this sentence. This may sound a little weird, but...
I am naked right now.
He went on to win and go out with that lady. They did not get married. That's two for Robbie. Rebecca got that one wrong. Playing my favorite Martin because it is Steve Martin's birthday, or at least it was yesterday. All right, here's your third fact. Name my favorite Martin. For one of his movies, he said there were movie-related items for sale, including holy water, turkey basters, and contraceptive foam.
Robbie? Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence is incorrect. No, that was Steve Martin talking about the Three Amigos movie.
Three Amigos, holy water, blessed by the Three Amigos.
Very nice.
How's it going?
Just fine. Just fine.
Then we have the Amigo turkey basters.
Mm-hmm. Perfect for the holidays.
Of course, in three sizes, Martin Short. This is the Chevy Chase. Uh-huh. Turkey baster, and of course, this would be my turkey baster. Here's the Egg McMigo. Here's a good one. This is the Visible Amigo.
On him when he was on with Letterman back in the day. Okay, you're on the board, Rebecca. You got one playing my favorite Martin, celebrating Steve Martin's birthday. He was once banned from NBC for many years.
Rebecca. Martin Short.
Martin Short. No, I'm sorry. That was Martin Lawrence who did that, by the way. It was because of his monologue on Saturday Night Live.
All right. Man, I am so happy to be here. This is a dream come true for me. I mean, hosting Saturday Night Live. I watched everybody, all of them on here. And I was like, when am I going to get my chance? But damn it, now's my chance. Ain't no stopping me now, I tell you. It's crazy, though. I got to talk about some things. The daggone censors are following me everywhere around, which they get off my ass. Oops, damn, did I slip? It's bothering me, man. You know, you can't say this, you can't say that. I'm like, well, how am I going to talk about the world?
He did go on to have the censors bleep him a bunch of times, and he was banned from NBC for like 6 or 7 years because of it. That's three for Robbie. I only had five of these, and that makes Robbie our winner on this one. I didn't even get to my Martin Short clue.
That's so unfortunate.
On Inside the Actor's Studio, he said his favorite curse word is poo. Poo? Poo. Martin Short. So happy birthday, Mr. Steve Martin. Truly great American, 73 years young yesterday. Here's to another great 73. Tough break, Rebecca. We appreciate the efforts. Robbie, congratulations. I at some point would have liked to have heard the Martin theme song. Don't you think, Chelsea? It would have gone well with your game since it's just the word Martin over and over again.
Lifted my spirits.
That's what I'm here for, Chuck.
Thank you.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So if you missed it, we just wrapped up Woody Game Wednesday, and you're probably patting yourself on the back for somehow managing to miss that. Amy rang in on Twitter, Woody. I don't know if you saw this. Mm-hmm. Quoting, I almost fell asleep during Woody Game Wednesday. It's gone from disappointing to boring. She, by the way, is always right up front. She's almost always the first one to comment on Woody Game Wednesday and doesn't hold back.
No
mince
words.
Ways to phrase it. Yeah.
What are you saying, Amy? I mean, you're being vague.
I feel like she's not a fan, generally speaking.
So she wants the total complete car wreck is what she wants?
I don't know that she wants that either, honestly. You can see the entire thing with your own eyes because we did obviously stream it live on Facebook. The Woody and Wilcox Facebook page is where you can find that. Good news coming up. Remember how a bunch of the airlines announced their new policies on emotional support animals?
Right. People couldn't bring their peacocks and
narwhals.
Yeah.
They really were starting to crack down on some of the most amazing animals that apparently people were, in fact, trying to bring on airplanes as emotional support animals. Some of them, of course, are legitimate. And then we know for a fact some of them are not legitimate. Southwest
stepped up yesterday and unveiled their take on what should be an emotional support animal and what shouldn't. And by the way, I was surprised by at least one of their announcements.
I was going to say, because Southwest does things differently. They're still, what, the only airline left that doesn't charge you for bags and stuff like that?
I don't know if they're the only one, but they're one of the few that doesn't.
They have a tendency when everybody goes right, they go left.
And in addition to that, and I think maybe other people will find this interesting too, there's some great news, particularly for you, Woody. So we'll share that with you coming up here next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't know. Summer is sort of wrapping up. I hate to say that out loud, but you may still have, a trip coming up where you're going to be doing some flying. And you may not know that yet another airline has decided to change their policy on emotional support animals. We heard, was it Delta a little while back? And there was another, I forget who the other one was, that decided they were going to change what they allowed as far as emotional support animals on airplanes. Because I think, while definitely, and we've covered this before, there are legitimate reasons for people who need emotional support animals. We've seen that time and time again.
Absolutely.
But let's also face facts. People are trying to scam the system.
Well, we've had those people on the show before.
Yes, we have. Although, I don't know that these changes would eliminate that particular issue, because what Southwest has decided is that they will still allow the traditional dog and cat, but they will not allow turkeys, pigs, or peacocks as emotional support animals, or what they call exotic animals. So I guess that they don't spell that out, but we can kind of figure what some of those might be. But they will allow the dog, the cat, and the miniature horse. And that's where I feel like they're different, because I thought that most of the other airlines had decided if it's got a hoof, we're not going to allow it as an emotional support animal. But as long as it's either in a carrier or on a leash, that applies to your cat, your dog, or apparently your miniature horse that you're using as an emotional support animal, then you're good. But you also have to have a note from a doctor. You can't just stroll on with your miniature horse and say, I need it. He's on a leash, so I'm good. They need you to have that note as well. It's different from a service animal. Remember, we've covered this many times, and I'm sure most people know that. A service animal has to go through training and is somebody who assists you in various tasks. An emotional support animal is an animal that, makes you feel better for one reason or another. Not trained necessarily in any way, but you do now have to have a note. They're not going to charge you for your bag, but they are going to check up on your miniature horse.
Our last vacation, I didn't fly, but the time before that, we flew, and I remarked at the airport, wow, there's a lot of people with animals. And I even with these new changes, I still haven't seen anybody bring a horse.
I haven't seen a horse either. I saw a dog. I flew last weekend, and somebody had a small dog. It was not on a leash or in a carrier, so it wouldn't have met the Southwest guidelines.
It was just running around?
Well, it was fairly non-mobile. I don't know. It didn't run. It stayed close to its owner and, was just kind of chilling. But yeah.
You can travel with your pets. Like, what are the rules on that? Like, what if I have a pet peacock that is not emotionally supportive?
I believe it has to go down under, if I may use that expression.
My peacock has to go down under?
I know. You can't just bring it on the plane.
Yeah, it's in the cargo area where I always think of pets used to fly.
Yeah. Well, and they still do. Some successfully.
Most successfully, yes. Like when we moved from Alaska, we took the beagles and they had crates, and we got a little note when we sat down on the plane that said, your dogs are on board. Great. Fingers crossed. Everything worked out great for us, and it does for a great number of people, but that's what I always thought when people traveled. We had to buy them a ticket. It's not as expensive as a seat, but yeah, and then you have all kinds of restrictions, and you need notes and food and water. Oh, yeah.
And by the way, thanks to Shannon for sharing this on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. Hey, speaking of airlines, guys, great news for Woody. And he sends along a link that says that Delta Airlines is going to hire 1,000 more flight attendants. So maybe you've still got a chance, Woody.
1,000, but what's the weight limit?
Well, they don't mention a weight limit, but I got to imagine if they're that desperate, they maybe are going to loosen that up a little bit. Those that are new to the show, Woody was refused a job as a flight attendant maybe 12, 15 years ago and was told that it was a weight issue. So thank you, Shannon. We're doing our best to see if Woody can get out of here and become a flight attendant, but so far... we haven't had much luck with that. So I'll send you the link.
Thanks. You've already sent my resume.
I'll even fill out most of it for you. We've done the heavy lifting for you as it is. I want to move on to something different that we touched on earlier on the show. If you were with us during a round of It Happened in Florida, there was a story about a couple that broke up. And they were living together, so that's always more messy because somebody's got to come and grab all their stuff, right, and take it.
Yeah.
So that's what happened, and but there was another part to that that was something that none of us had ever heard of before. The dude who had to move out of his girlfriend's apartment did something that I feel is unique. And so I'm going to we'll explain that in some more detail coming up. But I will say, if you're somebody who's gone through a breakup and there was something odd that took place in terms of dividing goods, or that sort of thing, mm-hmm. we may need you to ring in at 844-4WW-SHOW. So let that roll around in your dome, and we'll dig in next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
A couple of things that I want to get to here. But first, and we got to start making this a regular thing. There's a guy, and I think we've occasionally played him back on the radio, but not enough. And I'm going to start. This is going to be a new thing. There's a dude, and this is more a behind-the-scenes thing, who calls the Fez line all the time and just hates me. And I mean, literally, most people, and you're the smart ones, call in to ram Woody for stuff. But there's one guy, same guy, who almost every segment calls in afterwards mad at me specifically. Wilcox, you screwed this up again, and he has something for us. Here was the most recent. We were just talking about, and this may have been, you may not have caught this. We were talking about here at the radio station, we have like a hot water spigot in the kitchen, and it runs hot. And there's a dude who works behind the scenes here at the radio station who apparently carries a thermometer with him. I don't know why, because he works in radio production. He's not like somebody who does maintenance in the building. He, you know, puts commercials together, but also carries a thermometer. And he was reminding me, or I guess alerting me, that the water that comes out of that thing is 190 degrees, pretty toasty. And I said, 212 is boiling, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, being 190 is pretty warm to be coming out of a, you know, for folks just making food and drinks back in the kitchen. Well, I mentioned the 212 boiling thing, and then this comes in on our voicemail.
Boiling is not 212, idiot. It's 220. That's common knowledge.
Now, that's the guy. And if for once, I feel vindicated because I know I'm not wrong about this one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 212 is boiling.
I think he's thinking of electricity or something where you're 220.
220, 221.
212 is boiling. But I believe we're going to start celebrating this guy's calls because it's really fun, honestly.
It fits my theory that once you hate a person, they can do nothing right. So he's always, you know, you could say anything.
I just want to have a thing that we play back, you know, and now here's the guy that hates Wilcox again.
Okay.
And one of his things where he rants against me for something.
I love his calls.
Yeah. Well, not, I do
not
too.
Us.
I do too. So by the way, we mentioned a second ago the new rules for Southwest Airlines and what they consider an emotional support animal. Just dogs and cats mostly, but you can bring miniature horses as well, which was interesting. And then we mentioned that Delta is looking to hire 1,000 new flight attendants. So if you are a flight attendant looking for a gig, that's great. And then I mentioned that Woody, who was, you know, not allowed into the club years ago due to...
Still bitter about it.
Size.
Excessive weight, apparently.
They didn't even have him get on the scale. They just looked at him and were like, nope.
Habsy's the boat.
Chelsea's right.
Habsy's the boat has done a Photoshop of you...
Oh my God.
I mean, maybe that is you because it looks so realistic that I wouldn't know that wasn't a real photo. At Woody and Wilcox is the way that you can see it. He's taken, Woody's head and put it on top of a male flight attendant's body, like putting something in an overhead compartment. But it is uncanny, right? Look at that, Chels.
It's frightening.
Can you imagine getting on your plane and having that right there?
Coffee, tea.
So thank you for that. Let's move along. Earlier, we were talking about a situation where there was this couple that had broken up after years together, as a matter of fact. And tough situation, right? I think many of us have been through this where you're dating someone, in this case, for quite some time. And then you decide, you know, we're calling it quits. And maybe you live together. And then it's more difficult because you've got, you know, who gets this, or I'm going to take all of whatever it is I brought to the relationship. But this story was more interesting because the dude in the middle of the night stole her toilet. And stole maybe isn't the right word. She booted him, basically. Was like, it's time for you to move out. And he was like, all right, I'm going to collect my things and I'll be gone. And so she went off to bed. He started packing all of his stuff. And when she woke up the next morning, her toilet was gone.
Well, now I read the story, too. He's a plumber, so it's not like he broke the thing. And he bought the toilet.
Okay.
But I see where you're going.
Does
with
his
this.
Career path have anything to do with it? I mean, yeah, he was able to do it swiftly, I guess, because he's a plumber. Yeah, that's right.
He didn't just rip it out.
He didn't just, like, you know, bust it.
Now, she lives in an apartment where she only had one bathroom. So now you can see what sort of damage this would do. She doesn't have a toilet at all in her apartment anymore. Now, they are readily available, but yep. It costs money, and then you got to have somebody install it. I'm sure she's probably not adept at doing that. So, as it was mentioned in the story, she has been using the Taco Bell down the street in the interim period because she now no longer has a toilet. So, I think it might be interesting and probably informative to field your calls on the strange thing. Not the typical. I don't need to hear your sour grape story about somebody, you know, grabbing your record collection. But if somebody did something above and beyond the norm when you separated. Chelsea, you must have one, but you can think about it for a second.
All of those things happened during the relationship, I feel like.
Stolen toilets?
The mattress incident for me.
The mattress, right. Yeah, oh, that's right. Chelsea had a boyfriend who put their mattress in a dumpster.
Right. And then I got into it.
Right.
Got it out and rolled the thing back home.
Allie has rung in on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. Think about that for a second, Chelsea. She says, my boyfriend and I broke up a couple of years ago. We dated for 6 years. He didn't take a huge item like a toilet when he moved out, but instead, without me knowing it, he took a bunch of small items that I might not notice until later when I was going to look for them. None of them huge ticket items. Screwdriver, duct tape, pair of gloves, aspirin, on and on and on. She says, to this day, I still go looking for things that I know I have, and then they're not there because he took them. Remember, this was a couple of years ago. She says, occasionally I'll go looking for something and I'll text him and I'll say, did you take blank? And he always responds the exact same way. Yep. Good luck. Years later. Now, granted, you know, I think you could probably go and buy some duct tape and that sort of thing. But still, when it's something you know you've got and you go to look for it.
Right.
It's like that hidden, you know, somebody hides a rotting fish in your filing cabinet or whatever, and you don't notice it, and you're like, where's that smell coming from? It's that sort of thing, except in reverse.
It is the Scroogey, even these years later. Because you're right, when's the last time you bought a screwdriver? You're like, I have a screwdriver, where is it?
But texting him's just giving him too much satisfaction, because his plan is working.
I totally agree.
I think you're right about that, yeah. But at the same time, you're dying. Why don't I, you know, you have to know the answer. And apparently she's not willing to just accept it without calling him or texting him to find out if that is the case.
That's my life every day, though. And no one has taken the things. They're just somewhere.
Right, but that's not the same. Chelsea.
Losing it is not the same thing.
That doesn't count. Plus, I'm not sure you can break up with yourself.
844-4WW-SHOW. The relationship went sour, and they took something odd.
I'm assuming no one else has had a toilet stolen, although if that is you, and this isn't a unique situation, love to hear that one.
Yeah.
Did someone take your bathtub or your toilet or something else? I mean, it's not the easiest thing to sneak out of a situation, but obviously she made the mistake of going to bed and saying, clear your stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he was able to remove the toilet before leaving. 844-4WW-SHOW or on the voicemail. The Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Just rehashing, we heard the story about a couple that broke up after years together. They lived together. And then she was like, get all your stuff and get out. I'm going to bed. So he took his stuff. Plus, he also took the toilet. Literally took it out of the ground and... she woke up and it was gone. She lived in an apartment that only had one bathroom. So he took her only toilet. 844-4WW-SHOW. It doesn't have to be the strange item that was taken. It could even be, you know, you argued over an item that you look back on now and you think, I can't believe that we argued over that particular item. That, you know, I feel that's acceptable as well. Paula is up to share her story with us. Paula?
Yes?
Hey, what's your story?
Well, actually, I have two. You know, you can have the coffee maker where you have the coffee pot and then you have the coffee maker. Well, he took the coffee pot and left the coffee maker. And then
was he sentimental about it? Hang on a second. Was it just like, I love this pot. I hate the maker. I love the pot.
No, just unable to make coffee because he took the pot.
Yeah. He knew that one wouldn't maybe work without the other because they had to be paired. Yeah.
I guess like this one didn't work with the other.
What was your other story, Paula?
You have the matching bedspread with the pillow shams and the bed skirt and the curtains. He took the bedspread and left the curtains and the pillow shams.
Well, he's not going to put those up.
But he's not going to use the other one either. Right. That's obviously retribution. What man is taking a bedspread?
Correct.
None.
What do you need a blanket?
Nope.
No, as a guy, that's just a total Scroogey move right there.
Mm-hmm. Paula, we appreciate the call. Thank you for sharing. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through. You can also get in on the Fez line, our voicemail at 704-FEZ-3200.
Let's talk to Carlisle. Carlisle, what's your story?
My ex, I was getting ready to move out, and I guess, you know, he thought I wouldn't notice if he hid my cat, because I have two cats. I guess he thought that I wouldn't notice that he was, like, hiding my cat the whole day that I was moving all my stuff out. And so I confronted him about it, like, hey, you know, I'm going to take my cat, and he pretty much wanted to fight me on it. Like, no, you're not taking your cat. So I left with one cat instead of two because he was so dead set on keeping it and, like, not letting me take it.
Was he a big fan of the cat, or was this just some sort of retribution, do you think?
I think it was kind of like a trying to get back at me for leaving kind of thing because he knew how attached I was to my cat because they looked identical, like brother and sister, even though they weren't, and they just loved each other so much. And, yeah, I think it was kind of like a payback kind of thing, like, ha-ha, you don't get to take your cat because you're leaving me.
What I think is more interesting is the fact that he thought you might not realize. That you had one instead of two cats.
Now, quick question, though, before we go any further. You can count to two, correct, Carlisle?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was hiding it all day. Like, what are we keeping it up in a box in a closet somewhere? Like, that's...
Well, like, he was locking it in our roommate's room, because we had a roommate at the time. So I guess he thought, like, maybe I wouldn't look in there. I don't know.
Hmm.
Like, how would I not notice? She's fat. She's like a fat cat. Like, I'm going to notice that she's missing. Like, she's a good 15, 20 pounds. Like, I'm going to notice that this big cat is missing.
Did you ever get the cat back?
No, actually, I'm hopefully getting it back. This was about almost a year ago that this happened, and I'm hopefully getting her back tomorrow.
It's because we brought this up on the radio.
Well, like, I still pay her vet bills. And so I was like, look, I'm paying her vet bills. Everything's in my name. You know, she's mine. So please, like, I almost was to the point where I was, like, begging because I work, like, 24-hour shifts and stuff, like craziness. So, you know, my other cat's really lonely. And I told him that, like, he's lonely. He needs his friend back. back, and he finally just kind of gave in, I guess.
Crazy. After a year. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carla. 844-4WW-SHOW. I want to talk to Tommy. Tommy, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Chelsea. How are you?
Good morning.
Good, man. What's the story?
Well, about 30 years ago, I was married, and my wife and I redid a 105-year-old Victorian home. Mm. And when we got divorced, my ex decided that she liked the plumbing fixtures in the house better than I. So she took the 3 shower heads, the 2 faucets from the kitchen, and one of them from the master bathroom, because she thought they were better off with her than with me.
Well, when you find good fixtures that you really like.
We had painstakingly gone through the process of redoing this home, and she handpicked out virtually everything. Mm. And I bought that home as part of our divorce, and she decided that she'd like the plumbing fixtures and took them with her.
I think she's broken one of the rules. I think the fixtures have to convey, right, in those situations.
I believe the rules were dead set against her taking them, but nonetheless, she decided that she liked them better than I. And the really bad part of it was is that the shower head in the master bathroom was really a good one, and I liked it, and she took it.
That's probably why she took
right.
it.
Yep. Every time you're taking that slow flow shower, you're thinking about her. Hey,
you know, thankfully, I have been remarried for 15 years to a wonderful woman who leaves my fixtures exactly where they are.
That sounds like a euphemism for something.
That's right.
It could very well be.
Tommy, have you ever seen the TV show Alf?
Of course.
I feel like I hear a little Alf in your voice. Is anybody else catching that?
I have been told this on numerous occasions that okay. I sound like Alf, and I just can't get away from it.
That's awesome. Well, you know, the reboot is coming up. There's an opportunity. There's a business opportunity here.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm all in. Let's do the voiceovers.
Thanks, Tommy. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Thanks very much.
You got it. Thank you. Willie. Hey, Willie.
Hey.
Ha!
Right.
Thanks to Amy, my friend took the ceiling fans when she broke up with an ex.
Again, those can be nice.
Ceiling fans.
Those can be a couple $100.
Yeah, 844-4WW-SHOW, the way that you can get through.
Not to mention, they cool your house down, the dude's sitting there sweltering. Oh, she took the ceiling fans.
You can also get through on our voicemail at 704-FEZ-3200.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So we started this discussion with the story that we found this morning about a couple that broke up, and they lived together, and the girl asked the guy to move out of their apartment, and she went to bed. He cleared out all of his stuff and also took the toilet. We hear a lot of stories about retribution and all that sort of thing, but I felt that one sort of... It was a different one.
Mm-hmm.
It took it up a notch. We'd never heard of somebody stealing the toilet. And it was an apartment that only had one bathroom. So that's, you can see the problem created.
Did you go bucket there or just straight into the shower?
You go.
She went down to the Taco Bell down the street, at least until a new toilet could be acquired. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through, or the Fez line. 704-FEZ-3200. Thanks to Matthew. I once broke up with a girl and then realized I had left my Clerks DVD at her apartment. I got back together with her just long enough to reclaim it.
Wait a second. You call her up, you'll be like, I made a horrible mistake.
I miss you.
Oh, there's my DVD. Pound sand, lady.
Yep.
And Desert Eagle, my ex took the sex with her when she left.
Sometimes right. They don't even leave and take the sex with them.
They're still there.
And thanks to Shardy Waffles.
I'm sorry, what?
Who rang in on Twitter. That guy who called in who sounded like Alf, if he had been the woman from the previous call who had talked about the stolen cats, I think we all would know those cats are not coming back. Mm-hmm. Great Alf reference. Thank you, SW. at Woody and Wilcox is the way that you can get through on Twitter, of course.
844-4WW-SHOW. Let's talk to Josh, who's got something for us. Josh, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's up?
So the toilet one was pretty funny. Sounds
pretty spiteful, something like I do. But I actually took the shed.
You took a shed?
I took the shed. I had a lot of stuff, and we obviously when we broke up, I mean, I bought the shed, and I didn't feel like getting a U-Haul. She told me to get my stuff, and, you know, it was done, and my buddy had a flatbed. So I packed up the shed. We pulled it up on his flatbed and drove off.
Has she brought the shed situation up, or was that at the end of it? Have you spoken to her since?
No, that was pretty much it. I left it there, cinder blocks. I let her keep the cinder blocks and the everything else intact in case she decided to put another one there. But sure enough, there was a Facebook picture that came up about it, and that was about it. There was just a picture of it and it just said, really? I was like, yep, that was my shed. I needed something to take my stuff in. It was easier than a U-Haul.
You guys are passive-aggressively fighting on Facebook.
Well, I mean, that was kind of the last of it there. So, but my friends thought it was freaking hilarious.
Josh, we appreciate the call. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through.
Got this one on the Fez line in terms of things taken on the breakup at 704-FEZ-3200.
This one time I had to break up with this girl. She was driving me crazy. So,
and I said, get away from here. Get.
And then after that, after she got all mad at me and went into my cupboard, stole all my pots and pans, went into my refrigerator, stole all my food, and I was even unable to
cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
You know what? That was telegraphed. But I appreciate
a lot of effort going on.
Huge. Just get all fat and sassy. Right, you got to take a break.
What do you mean take a break?
It's too much.
No, it's not. Don't listen to Chelsea. 704-FEZ-3200.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
What in the heck is going on at airports in this country?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Remember, was it just earlier this week, Monday, we talked about the guy in SeaTac Airport who decided that he was going to take an airplane basically for a joyride.
Right.
And sadly, it ended up with him. I think they've confirmed that it was a suicide. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn on that one, but it ended up tragically. I point to a video that you can see right now on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page of a little different thing that happened, and this one happened at the Springfield Branson National Airport in Springfield, Missouri. If you haven't been there, it's just a glorious facility.
I mean, they still say, though, by the way, Branson is like one of the leading tourist attractions in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Old people like to go there. There's gambling and Wayne Newton.
I don't know. Is it Wayne Newton?
It's
older stars.
Greg Brady plays a lot of Branson shows there.
It's like people who are past their prime but have their own theaters in Branson. And so a lot of bus tours. And
They have Lambert's, home of the throwed rolls there.
You can throw bread at people. I mean, it's A to Z, Chelsea.
Technically, you get bread thrown at you.
Okay, you get bread thrown at you, Chelsea. It's A to Z.
Okay.
But I would drive there and not fly there due to the mishap that almost occurred at this airport. What you see in the video is a van, and you know, the vans that drive around and do stuff on an airport, cross an active runway 2.5 seconds before a jet is taking off with 57 passengers on board. 2.5 seconds. So much so that you hear the co-pilot in the air traffic control audio go, "Truck, truck!" Listen to this air traffic control audio right here. That's them telling the plane to take off, and the pilot says, okay. That's him screaming because the front wheel is already off the ground when they realize that employees at the airport in a van are crossing an active runway, missing the plane by 2.5 seconds. Now, Chelsea, I hear you asking silently, what were the employees of the airport doing crossing an active runway with a plane rolling down it?
Obviously something very important.
But these are airport employees.
Correct. This is airport employees that were late for a barbecue.
That was the reason that they gave. They could have driven outside of the airport, but it would have taken too long and they would have missed the barbecue. So they decided to just drive across the middle of an active runway with a plane rolling down it, or they would have missed some grilled meat.
I mean, 2.5 seconds, though. Come on, Woody. Overreaction.
57 passengers on board and one very slim flight attendant, I'm sure.
But have you ever had barbecue?
I have had some good barbecue.
But it's a work function, too.
Justified.
Mm. I mean, what? I feel like they would... Were they so distracted and excited about the barbecue? Because you can see a plane coming.
Yeah. It's amazing because... And I was reading the report on it. The guy in the van was like, I did everything right. I contacted the tower and there's ground control, and they told me to cross the runway, so I crossed the runway, and the passenger screamed, OS, as soon as we started across the runway. I didn't even realize that there was a plane rolling. That's what he claims. Now, air traffic control is, we would have never sent a car across an active runway like that. But they did give the excuse, we were late for the barbecue, and if we didn't do this route, we would have missed it. That's the level of safety and concern that they have in an airport right now. What in the hell is going on? You can see the video. You can watch it. They slow it down in slow motion. It's frightening how close we were to a major accident. Because you don't want to miss the grilled meat.
Still, we have to be missing something.
Take a look. The entire, like at the end of it, they type out the entire transcript of exactly what happened, talking to the pilots, talking to the van driver, and air traffic control. We're not missing anything, Chelsea.
So does this mean they made it to the barbecue?
They did make it to the barbecue. I know that was your main concern. Not the 57 people who almost were killed in a fiery accident because somebody had to get some meat in their face. The video is up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. You can check it out right now.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is week 2 of NFL preseason, right? Or is it 3? I get a little confused when they do that Pro Bowl game and then there's the week 1. I'm confused about it.
I'm going to say it's week 2.
You're going to say week 2, and that's what I'm going to agree with. But we are into the NFL season, and that makes me happy. A lot of people happy, unless I bet you're a Cleveland Browns fan. Do you realize that it has been 599 days since the Cleveland Browns last won a game?
Well,
it was December 24th, 2016. Now, they went 1-15 that season. Last season did not win a game at all. And I bring it up because I think the folks at Bud Light have got a diabolical promotion going on right now. They have decided to give free beer to Cleveland Brown fans once their team wins a regular season game in the NFL. And they've already got the kiosks filled, little refrigerators that are locked. And they're installing them around the mistake by the lake known as Cleveland. And apparently what they are doing is they have these refrigerators, and you can see the beer that's inside them. It's got a chain around it, and it's magnetically locked. And somehow they're all synced up that when the Cleveland Browns win, somebody there at Bud Light headquarters hits a button, the chains open, the magnetic lock releases, and then boom, free beer to celebrate your victory. I realize this is a huge promotion to get idiots like me to talk about Bud Light. That's fine. But this is a little bit cruel, isn't it? Especially because they've got a rookie quarterback who is really good in college. We've seen it happen before where you're really good in college and you hit the NFL. It's not the same thing. These refrigerators could be up for another 599 days.
No. I mean, a couple things. Eventually, they're going to win. And Frank keeps saying it's their year, by the way. I'm not sure what that means. So let's say they win a game soon. What's going to happen when those refrigerators open? You're so concerned about them winning. I'm concerned about what happens when they do. What's to stop one guy from just taking it all? Then there's fighting in the streets.
Have you been to Cleveland? I thought I saw that story. I don't think they're just on street corners. I think they're in establishments. Because I don't think... Obviously, they could just allow anybody on the street to just walk up and grab a beer. That'd be a great world if we lived in that world, but it's not the world that we live in. I don't know if you know this. People under the age of 21 are not supposed to drink.
Correct.
So I don't think it's just, you know, hey, kids, come on down to the playground and the fridge is going to open up because the Browns won a game. I think there's a little bit more oversight to it than that.
I haven't seen it. That would make sense, and I'm sure there is a way that they are restricting underage people from getting to the beer if and when the Cleveland Browns actually win a regular season football game. But I haven't seen it. They're just giant refrigerators with a glass front that says when the Browns win, Cleveland wins. And those things will open up, and you're right, Chelsea, there's going to be one guy there, and if he's big enough... That beer is his. But then again, if you're a long-suffering Browns fan, I mean, really?
Is Bud Light the answer?
Right.
Insert your Bud Light jokes here. I get it. I know where you're going with that.
You're going to go a little harder to celebrate that win?
Well, they leave it unlocked and then lock it when the Browns win a game. I get it. Stop sharing your jokes. Some folks, believe it or not, are not a big fan of Bud Light.
How dare you? So, you know what? You've only got, what, 2.5 more weeks for the first opportunity for those refrigerators to open. Now, are they going to win their first game? No, come on. It's Cleveland Browns.
How dare you?
They won in the 15th week in 2016. Out of 16 weeks, they beat the San Diego Chargers. So you may have a little bit of a wait. And isn't Bud Light's thing about fresh beer? They're going to have to keep restocking that thing over and over and over again. Good luck, Browns fans. It's going to be a long year.
Kids, we're going to Cleveland to stand on a street corner and wait for a refrigerator to unlock.
It's probably more exciting.
Because they don't have Bud Light anywhere else.
It's more exciting than the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't think that's accurate. Maybe we can do something similar whenever Woody Game Wednesday actually is palatable.
Yeah.
Somehow somebody gets a beer somewhere. Then we'll have to scale it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the great news is we'll never have to pay off. So
how dare you?
We've got a round of It Happened in Florida coming up in a couple of minutes. Maybe we'll learn something. Maybe feel better about ourselves.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We've got three stories that we're going to share with you here as part of our It Happened in Florida. And if you're not familiar, all three of these stories will be true stories, things that really happened. We're not making them up, but you got to figure out which one of them happened in the state of Florida. It's that easy. The rest of them could have happened anywhere all over the world. And you spot the Florida story first to win at 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody has the first story.
It's been a hot summer, has it not? Is it the hottest summer on record?
No.
Probably not. But it's been one of the warmer ones.
It could be. And no, it has been. I hate to say this, I think Woody's right.
I bring it up because...
Globally, I think it's like a record breaker.
Several people at these beaches in story number one are upset because, well, there are a couple of farms next to the beach where they enjoy going to the water, and the local authorities have allowed the farmers to bring their cows to the beach so that they can get in the water and cool off during the hot summer. We've all been there, right? You're enjoying the ocean. And you're like, yeah, this is a great time. What? There's a cow on the beach and it's swimming.
I don't think we all have been there.
No, I would like to see that.
Beachgoers say the cow's presence is, quote, unhygienic and could pose a health risk. Right? The E. coli outbreak, E. coli, outbreak, the whatever. They're worried about E. coli is what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
However, the local authorities are like, look, the farmers are going to bring the cows when nobody's there. If anybody is swimming, they're being told, hey, you know, respect the humans' rights to be there. But the cows have just as much right to enjoy a little dip in the ocean, just like we do. Is it in Florida where, due to the hot summer, farmers are bringing their cows to the beach?
I thought I saw that story myself. Did I make it up that it was a nude beach?
It is a nude beach in this particular case, yes.
Oh, see, I feel like that makes it even less hygienic for some reason. Laying around on the beach and wallowing in cow dung. I mean, I know some people are into that, but I feel like that's a little bit
unsavory.
You don't have to sit
in it. That's dung, not dong.
Was it confusing? Did you think I said dong?
Well, it's a nude beach. You never know.
And now Larry King tries to say the words E. coli outbreak. All
right. He's been litigating on this issue since the Jack in the Box E. coli outbreak.
That was Larry King trying to say the words E. coli outbreak.
Now, for some reason, I'm imagining Larry King nude. We do have a... Not that I don't do that all the time, but especially now. Story number two has to do with somebody showing up at the doctor and then finding out something incredible. Now, I'll give you the symptoms, and then you tell me what was wrong with her. She had her eyelids swell up. This is a 42-year-old woman. And then it started to droop. Her eyelid, by the way. Mm-hmm. They found a small cyst, but they also found something else.
Unborn twin.
Unborn twin is a great guess, Woody, in her eye. Not the answer.
Worm. We've been hearing a lot about worms lately.
Oh, that's a great guess.
Look like a fat worm, right, Chelsea? Yeah. We've all been there.
It kind of looks like a fat worm.
Not a worm, but a great guess. A contact lens was lodged inside her eye. Now, you may say, well, I've worn contacts. Sometimes mm-hmm. they get lost in there. It had been there for 28 years.
28 years.
And the reason why they know that is once the doctor was like, well, lady, because there's a contact lens like lodged up back here in your eyelid. And she was like, what? I haven't lost a contact. Oh, wait a second. 28 years ago, I was playing badminton as a teenager. I lost a contact lens. Now we know where it is.
No.
28 years. And by the way, it was one of those old school
hard
contact lenses.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, would feel that.
Yep.
Something would be jabbing you in
You would feel, I mean, you guys haven't worn contacts. I have.
Some people have big eye holes, Chelsea.
No.
I don't know if that's true or not. Big lids.
I've heard of A-holes, but not eye holes.
Take it easy. Is it Florida, where a woman had a contact lens lodged in the back of her eye for 28 years and didn't realize it until recently? Woody's got the third and final story.
I know there are people out there who have interesting jobs, different jobs. However, I had no idea that there was a job where you put face paint and fake eyelashes on spiders. Did you know that there was a job doing that? Anyone?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, there is a lab where they are doing experiments with spiders, and it's at a university in these United States of America. And the experiments that they're doing is putting on face paint and fake eyelashes on male spiders to see if it makes them more attractive to female spiders. Nope.
No. What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Yes.
They're putting eyelashes on male spiders to see if they're more attractive to the female spiders.
Nope. That is 100% correct,
nope.
Chelsea.
Not buying it.
Yes.
No.
They're seeing, in these particular spiders, the lady spiders have a tendency to eat the male spiders if they do not live up to their expectations sexually and socially. And so what they have found out is that the spiders, when they have a redder face, have a tendency to not get eaten as much as the spiders nope. who have their faces darkened in a different color.
So they're putting blush on the spiders to see if the women eat it.
Yes, Chelsea.
Cool beans, I think we're going to need that.
And specifically, they are putting eyeliner on the other ones to make them darker. They're also gluing fake eyelashes to the spiders. No. Take a look. Here's a picture.
No, this is what...
This is somebody's job at a university in these United States of America.
Just, Woody, stop talking.
They're just screwing with you with the eyelashes. They're like, let's change up the color of the cheeks. Redder, you know, darker here. And then somebody's like, let's put eyelashes on it.
Now, didn't you say male spiders?
That's correct.
So why would it matter?
Because the male spiders are the ones that get eaten.
Is the insinuation that female spiders are already wearing fake eyelashes?
I don't know.
Stop
talking.
It has to do with their health and their attractiveness to the female spiders, and so they are doing these experiments.
How pleasing they are. They Correct. Do a dance. Correct. They make her a sandwich.
Woody, stop talking.
But spiders, in most cases, are not human, and I've feel like the eyelashes and that sort of thing is a uniquely human scenario.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It started off as changing the color to see if the female spiders will eat them. The eyelash thing is just so idiots talk about it on the radio.
I disagree. These particular spiders have distinct eyelashes, and they were wondering if the length of the eyelash indicated a healthier and therefore more suitable mate, and that's why they are doing the fake eyelashes. Right.
I'm not going to ask another question because I want this to stop. Are the spiders barking by any chance?
Is it in Florida where they're putting makeup and fake eyelashes on male spiders? And that's somebody's job. Darren, all three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida?
Story number two.
No, sorry.
Not even in this country. The UK is where the woman, apparently as a teenager, thought she had lost a contact, and apparently it had just rolled back in her head. And 28 years later, just recently, when her eye started swelling up and eyelid drooping, she went in to find out that it's back there still.
50-50 shot for you, Chris. What do you think?
Let's go with story number three.
Story number three, yes. Nice job. The University of Florida is where they are face painting and putting fake eyelashes on male spiders to see if it makes them more attracted to female spiders. By the way, Wilcox, they're also putting capes on termites to see if that makes them more attractive.
Woody, stop talking.
To female termites.
Woody, stop talking.
The male termites are fitted with tiny striped capes because the scientists at the University of Florida know that females look at these striped termites quicker, so they're seeing if that makes them more attractive to the female termites with capes on them.
Snap out of it.
Skinny jeans next?
Yeah, it wouldn't. Some sort of man bag. And in southern Sweden is where the government has granted permission for cows to visit the nude beaches there in Sweden.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Did you guys see the news on Matt Lauer? There's a name we haven't talked about in quite a while, right?
I mean, I don't think about Matt Lauer that much, I'll be honest.
What's he doing since his sex scandal?
Well, his wife has decided, hey, turns out you were having sex with other people. That's not something I signed up for. How about you give me $20 million? And he's like, okay. That sounds about right.
Is that exactly how it went? Is that a transcript?
Well, I'm sure that's how the attorneys handled it, but I'm not quite sure.
I doubt it that it went that smoothly.
But, I mean, doesn't he make that much in a year?
That was kind of my thought. Like I said, I don't give much thought to Matt Lauer. What was it, Today Show hosts? And I don't even remember what he was in the news for. Of course, I don't remember a lot of things. I remember that was a lot of talk.
Well,
he had sexual harassment in the job site, right?
Correct. Remember, he had the lock where he could hit a button on his desk and it would lock his office door.
Right. But then they later said that everybody had the same thing and this was a safety precaution, mm-hmm. not some sort of sex dungeon.
And that he had a drawer filled with sex toys.
And everybody had that. That's an NBC issued equipment.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep you relaxed.
You think Chelsea's right though? I would have thought more. $20 million for someone of his financial status actually seems low. Because you're right. I think he was making more than that per year.
They'd been married almost 20 years, so she gets $1 million a year. Now, no word on, they're still living together, by the way.
What?
They have a 12-bedroom house, so it's a little bit easier when you've got that kind of dough to, I guess, to be like, I'm going to be on this side of the house. You go ahead and stay on that side of the house.
How do they even know that they're living together?
Correct.
Why would you ever need 12 bedrooms?
You got some people have friends,
Chelsea. In case you get
divorced. Right. Or you have friends come over, and they bring friends, and they met some dude on the subway coming to your house.
So this has been almost a year, can you believe this, since he was let go from NBC. November. This says a string of inappropriate affairs.
That actually seems quick to have passed a judgment financially on what he was going to owe her. Mm-hmm. So they've agreed upon that at this point?
Yeah. And she also gets an allowance in addition to that or so. I'm trying to read all through all the details of it because obviously they have homes here and there and all kinds of other stuff.
Who gets the toilet?
Well, there's 12 bedrooms. You probably have a few toilets to pick from.
Well, how many do you get?
It's not quite the same as the story we had earlier. If you missed that, a woman and a man broke up, and she told him to get his stuff and leave, and he took the toilet as well. It was a one-bedroom condo.
They had, listen to this. They had something called a postnup, which was drafted after she originally had a divorce filing in 2006. So they came up with something then, like, hey, odds are we're going to be going through this again, this whole divorce thing. So let's go ahead and get it settled so when down the road we decide to divorce each other for real, it'll be easier.
That's an interesting conversation to go through with somebody.
Post-nup.
Yes.
I've never heard of something like
first
that.
First of all, it sounds like a breakfast cereal.
Or a cat toy.
Would you like another bowl of post-nup?
Well, post-nup. Right, Post is a cereal company.
Yes. Oh, I'm enjoying a bowl of post-nups.
These nups are delicious.
But this is the most expensive bowl of cereal in the world.
The grape nups. I didn't know that was a thing. I feel like once you've done that, you might as well go ahead and complete the divorce right there.
That's right. I gotta.
Why would you write up some sort of deal that says, well, I'm sure we're going to get divorced, so here's how that'll go.
Well, according to
this, at that point, just get the divorce.
Because he was trying to get her back. This is the first time she found out he was, you know, cheating on her or had been their entire relationship in 2006. So in trying to get her back, he agreed to this. So I guess she's like, okay.
And at that point, U.S., aren't you understanding the danger that you're taking by getting back together with him?
Yes, well, clearly. That's why she wanted the money.
Right. That's why she's going to go ahead. Let's go ahead and set this up and see how much longer I can ride this out before you crash and burn. Then we'll do it for real. See you in 12 years. I've never heard of that, though.
So they have agreed to the custody of their three children together. So won't somebody please think of the children as she gets $20 million?
Probably fully grown, right? Though?
17, 14, and 11.
Mm-hmm.
The 11-year-old is named Thighs.
I think it's Thighs.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Thijs. Thijs. I need to shorten that too. Steve?
Ty.
And why do you think it's Thighs?
Because I think the J turns into a Y.
What language?
Dutch.
Are you making that up?
I don't know either. There's so many interesting things in this article. I don't know what to, you know. How do you go from Jack and then have another kid with that name? So many questions.
Jack, Romy, and Thighs. Thighs.
Sorry.
It was good to see Al Roker ring in support of his buddy on the announcement of the settlement.
I pooped my pants.
See, he's still got that support.
Ian Wilcox Show.
I don't know if you've seen this yet or not. It's one of these viral videos that's floating around. So, you know, the only place you're going to find it is on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page or at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter. It's the dude who was on the $100,000 pyramid and screwed it up pretty bad. Remember how that works? Have you watched the $100,000 pyramid lately?
No.
I think that's what it is, right? $100,000 these days? Is that what it's called? $100,000 pyramid? Yeah, that's right. Michael Strahan is now the host. And so
really?
You as a layman, and then you have a celebrity partner, and then you each give clues to one another, right? And the other person tries to solve it. And if you get enough, you win the money.
Right,
that's
but it's
basically
like,
how it works.
Like things that are yellow. So you'll sit there and say, banana, taxi cabs, things that are yellow.
Yes, that's how it works, right. So this dude is teamed up with former SNL cast member Tim Meadows, the ladies man, who's been on the show, by the way.
Yep.
And the clue comes up, and we can see it as the TV viewing audience. And, of course, the guy who's going to have to give the clues can see it. But Tim Meadows cannot see it and has to figure out what he's being led to say. Well, the clue is people whose last name is Obama.
That's a pretty easy clue.
Exactly.
I don't know if it gets any easier than...
People whose last name is Obama. So this guy has to get Tim Meadows to say that. And here's how it
played out. Back to the $100,000 pyramid. Evan, he made it to the winner's circle where he and his celebrity partner, Tim Meadows, are about to play for a cool $50,000. For $50,000. Here's your first subject. Go.
So it pops up, people whose last name is Obama.
Bin Laden.
Okay, so
that was out the gate.
So his first one is
he takes like 5 seconds to come up with that.
By the way, since this has happened, obviously there have been a couple people who've had some fun with it, and so this guy now has rung in with explanation after explanation. We can get to that in a second, but so again, he's trying to get Tim Meadows to say people whose last name is Obama. And he says, Bin Laden.
Barack.
Now he says Barack. Okay.
Maybe he's trying to do a rhymes with. Maybe there's a bigger plan now, in his head.
So now put yourself in Tim Meadows' position. Your partner has now said Bin Laden and Barack. I'm going to rewind it and I'm play back a little bit of this.
Go. Bin Laden. Barack. Obama's.
Wait, he got it?
How does Tim Meadows get that? Now, I get the Barack part, but he led into that with Bin Laden. And he answered Obama's. And that was right.
And that was for $50,000. We got to get on that show.
Well, that's one of several. They have to turn over a few clues. And then if he gets them all, then it's $50,000.
Oh. Okay.
He doesn't get $50,000 just for that one. So it's weird on multiple levels, right? I mean, if I was Tim Meadows in that situation, I don't think I would have gotten it. I would have needed another clue to hone in.
But you can say whatever comes to your mind. You don't get disqualified if you don't get it immediately,
right? That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So he's saying Bin Laden. So Tim Meadows is like, okay, Osama, and then Obama. Obama's. That's the only thing. I mean,
the incredible similarities between them is that. I mean,
the rhymingness of it. I mean, he couldn't name anybody else other than Barack, I guess. So he was just time with rhyming words.
You can't throw out Michelle. Could you throw out?
So in response, by the way, to everybody questioning this guy, this guy's name's Evan Kaufman. He's like, I my brain was racing when the thing flipped over, and I said, well, I need to think of multiple people. I can't just say Barack. Which still doesn't answer the question as why you said Bin Laden,
Sasha, Malia. Barack, Michelle, just go ahead and name the family.
Our brains don't always work right, and this is our job, and we do it daily.
You know what? Don't get me wrong. I would have frozen as well. I wouldn't have been able to come up with all of Obama's family. You're saying just say Michelle or Sasha or maybe. Maybe I would have come up, but I mean, you know, you're on the spot. I'm just equally fascinated by Tim Meadows getting it after he said Bin Laden. By the way, the guy does want you to know that he voted for Barack Obama twice and would have voted for him a third time if it was legal.
Poor guy now has to.
He has to defend himself. I'm not. What? Am I, you know, people, I'm sure, are somehow calling him a racist.
I don't think that calls.
Come on. Are you kidding me? So you can see that.
I put it up on the Facebook page.
Only on the Woody and Wilcox. You're not going to find it anywhere else.
Well, the Twitter feed, too.
Well, there, too, obviously, at Woody and Wilcox. But other than that.
That's pretty funny. And by the way, kudos to Tim Meadows. Well
done. I mean, incredibly insightful on Tim Meadows' part.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
What do we learn today on the show?
Nothing.
I wouldn't say that. We learned that Cool Beans has a coffee shop named after her. We learned that yesterday was Steve Martin's birthday, and Woody thought we should celebrate that. Woody Game Wednesday is out there on the podcast and on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. We found out that when you break up with somebody, you apparently can take the toilet from the condo that you live in. It's frowned upon, but you can do it. We took a lot of different calls on people and what the odd thing was that they tried to take from a relationship. We also found out that Matt Lauer is apparently going to kick in 20 grand for the end of his relationship.
20 million.
What did I say?
20 grand.
Well, he is going to do that too. We found out that Postnup is not a cereal, but is something that Matt Lauer had signed with his ex-wife. We learned that Tim Meadows may in fact be some sort of witch based on his amazing insight on the clip that we had a little bit ago on the $100,000 pyramid. You can see that at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter or on our Facebook page as well. Lots of other things learned, but I'll let you find that out on your own, including the term spank the hippo. Not a euphemism for something, apparently. You'll find that on the podcast, too. Tomorrow, we'll find out what's weird on Craigslist. Send in your odd things to Woody. See if you can get that in on a Craigslist Price is Right tomorrow. Intern Dave, is there anything you want to add to the show today before we hang it up?
Another great show, guys.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't,
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is very ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I want my female golfers to be flat-chested and unattractive.